welcome to Emerge the Radio Show. I'm Sham, producer for the Emerge team. Thanks so much for joining us today. This week, we're talking with up-and-coming author, speaker, and entrepreneur, Jeremiah Devalier. We're also speaking with artist, educator, and founder of the Live Love Paint Foundation, Chanda Epps. All of that, and of course, we will make a divine decision with Dorothea, and Deshana will give us her 2 cents on finance. Let's get started with some super helpful tips to help you emerge as a CEO. Let's take a quick look with Tiffany into the CEO's corner. Emerge,
emerge yourself. Welcome to the CEO Corner, the show where you receive invaluable tips on how to emerge your business to new heights. I'm your CEO, Tiffany Boyle, and today we're delving into a crucial aspect of entrepreneurship, communication. Now, effective communication is the lifeblood of any successful business venture. For entrepreneurs, mastering the art of communication is not just a skill, it's a strategic imperative that can make or break your startup. Internally, clear and transparent communication fosters a culture of collaboration and innovation. As entrepreneurs, it is essential to communicate your vision, values, and goals to your team effectively. Keep everyone aligned and motivated towards a common purpose. Externally, now outside, communication plays a pivotal role in building relationships with customers, investors, and stakeholders. From marketing messages to customer support interactions, every single interaction is an opportunity to showcase your brand's value and differentiate yourself in the marketplace. Moreover, as entrepreneurs, we must be adaptable communicators. Whether it's pitching your idea to investors, negotiating deals with suppliers, or resolving conflicts with team members, the ability to tailor your communication style to a different audience and situations is essential for success. So, as you navigate the entrepreneurial journey, remember the power of communication. Take the time to hone your communication skills, seek feedback from others, and continuously strive to improve your ability to communicate effectively can be the difference between failure and success. Let me repeat that. Your ability to communicate effectively can be the difference between failure and success. Remember, as entrepreneurs, our success is built on a foundation of clear, honest, and strategic communication. Until next time, stay tuned, stay inspired, and keep leading with purpose. I'm Tiffany Boyle, and that's my tip from the CEO Corner. Emerge,
emerge yourself. You're listening to Emerge the Podcast.
If you would like to partner with us and have your business spotlighted on the show, contact us at emergethemagazine.com. Hello, 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 and happy Wednesday. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to the Emerge Radio Show. I am your host, Deshana Kemp Garnett, along with my amazing co-host, Miss Dorothea Schuler. Hey, Dorothea.
Hey, 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 everyone.
I don't know if you are as excited as I am, but today we have a treat, right? And so this is something I'm super excited about because, you know, I love talking to people who also have that young energy, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Jeremiah Devalier. Hey, Jeremiah.
Hey, Ms. Deshana. Deshana, sorry.
How are you doing, Jeremiah?
I'm doing good, Ms. Dorothea. How are you doing?
Great. We're excited to hear all about how you've emerged.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Jeremiah. Well, so let's give you the floor. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, yes, ma'am. As you two may already know, I am the 15-year-old author of Lands of Scientia. Lands of Scientia is about three middle school friends who go on an island and save the animals from evil, sci-fi, fantasy, superhero type of thing. And the real interesting thing is that I took real scientific facts and entwined into my story. So now I'm entertaining and educating my readers at the same time. So yeah, so I've really been spending my days really just getting kids to reading more books and really getting into science.
I love that. Did you say getting kids into reading books, that you're not a young man yourself? I love the maturity. I love it.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Look, he is so mature. Everything has been, yes, ma'am. I've heard him talking to his parents saying, sir. So we already know he's been raised right, but 15 and you've already written a book.
Yes.
That is amazing. Well, I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you. But I mean, I'm 15 now, but when I wrote the book, I was 11.
Okay. Okay. Flash for them, Jeremiah. Flash for them. I'm like, I'm calling my son as soon as I get off the phone. Like, wait a minute now.
Yeah. So I wrote it during the pandemic. So it was like around 2020 when I decided I was already writing it before the pandemic, but then we was out of school. And so I just took that time really to sit out on my porch and just write. So that was, I felt like that was a good time for me because it gave me enough time to focus. So yeah.
So let me ask you this, Jeremiah, how did you get the idea? Or how did you know that you wanted to write a book and about that topic particularly?
Well, about that topic particularly, well, at first it didn't really start off like that. It was about just me and my friend being superheroes and, you know, doing superhero activities. And I, you know, and then I was writing it and I wasn't really interested in it after I started writing it. So I kind of changed the story like in the middle and I kind of changed where I wanted to go. And I was like, you know what? I really like science and I really like science and how fun it was. And I was already kind of like superpowers in itself. So I kind of was like, what if I took science and scientific facts and intertwine it into a superheroes and superpowers that every kid, every boy wants? So that's kind of where I took my, got my story.
Look, I'm up here smiling like a proud mama. You are not my baby, but I am just so proud of you. That is so amazing.
Girl, me too. And the fact that he had the frame of mind to say during the pandemic, there were so many kids that didn't know how to apply their time, that didn't have the wherewithal to know, hey, even though outside isn't open, I still have gifts and talents. Let me utilize this time. And look at the reward you are reaping from that. That is unbelievable. We hear that so much, Jeremiah, from our guests, that the pandemic is what sparked their desire. But we're talking about usually 30 and up. Am I right, DeShayna?
For sure. For sure.
Yes,
I'm so excited because my son, you know, my oldest baby turns 11 tomorrow. And so for me to be able to say, hey, you know, I know someone that at 11 years old, they wrote a book. I love it, right? Because it makes it, it's so attainable now. You know what I mean? Like, it's something he can do. It makes it real. So I'm super proud of that. But, you know, we've been doing our research on you, Jeremiah. And so outside of being an author, we hear that you also dabble in a little public speaking. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I have been into a lot of public speaking. Early this month, I went to the Zoom and I went to go do a book reading with the kids there. And I also went to go talk to them about, you know, things that they can be in life, how we can relate it to, you know, animals and all that. And also, and then the day after, I went to ODU, but it was a librarian conference. And I went to go talk to the librarians there. And I went to just go talk to them how we should let our children, you know, get into expressive writing, which I like to call it. It's basically just writing like short stories, poems, and, you know, just kids getting their freedom to write what they want and how the benefits of that sort of writing. So I went to go talk to some librarians there. And yeah, so I've been doing a lot of public speaking now and while sharing my time as in school, sports, and writing as well.
Wait, school, sports, writing, public speaking. Your parents have raised a fine young man with a lot of determination. And let's just, I want to roll back a little bit. Writing a book is no easy thing. Could you please just tap me in on how you went about deciding about publishing and people to edit your book and things that copyright, like, just please take me through how that looked for an 11-year-old because I am speechless.
Well, when I did that, that was not really me, to be honest. I mean, I was young enough. I was still like old enough to write a book, but I was still kind of young enough, too young to understand the process of it. Cause I just really thought at that time that writing a book was just writing it and then everybody would read it, if you understand what I'm saying. So I would have to give that part to my father because he was also a published author as well. He wrote 3 books before me. So he's already been in the game before I was even born. So when he saw that I had finished the book and it was an actual book with 26 chapters, he took it and he went to his old editor and she edited it for me. And I really thank her for that, Mrs. Lewis. She really did a great job editing my book. And then he took it to a publishing company. I don't remember what publishing company it was, but it was also under his Hungry Wolves publishing company. It was under his, that was under his publishing company. But what I think I meant to say was the printing company that he went to put that under. I don't know what printing company that was. But after that, that was really what happened. Everything slowed down because it was in the pandemic. learning. So that took about 18 months. So the book really came out in around eighth grade. So yeah.
That is so awesome. So I heard from what you said that you already had an example and you already had a supportive parent that helped you finish that up. And I think that's so amazing, right? We always know that our kids are watching us, right? Like good example, bad example, but it just shows that you had a great example. So I'm like, I can't stop smiling. So let me move on, right? Because there's so much I want to talk about. But can you talk to us about what you have going on this month? I heard you have some type of activity going on this month.
This month in April, yes, I do have a couple of readings going on. I'm still going around and doing some readings. The librarians I was telling you about, some of them have kind of contacted me about, you know, wanting to go to different schools and do different public speaking. Because earlier in December, I did a public speaking at my old school in Motoka, and I talked to the fourth and fifth graders there, and, you know, just a little bit about what it means to be an adult and the responsibility that you need to take. So, and what you want to be when you grow up. So I went there. So now when I went to the librarians and I told them about my experience at the Motoka, you know, they were very interested. So they gave me, I'm talking with them now about, you know, getting into different schools and doing public speaking there. I'm not really sure what, like when the actual date might be, what time that might be, but I know that we are contacted with that.
Awesome. So let me ask you this, right? It seems like you're quite a busy young man. Do you have any plans or do you even want to maybe write another book as well?
Well, yes, ma'am. Well, I am writing a sequel to Lens and Science here. That one's about light. The last one was about life science. So this one's kind of about light science. So I am writing a sequel. I'm kind of struggling to find time. I'm kind of on this slowly but surely path. But I feel like I am definitely writing. I have many excerpts really in my Word account. I got many little passages I've written that I kind of can't wait to get back to. So yeah.
We need to match your drive, Jeremiah. I get writer's block all the time. We're always talking about getting together for our writing sessions, for our segments. And just to hear the way you're talking about how you go about planning and executing your dreams and goals and have manifested them, young man, you have inspired me. I just want to let you know that. So I can only imagine the level of inspiration you are giving to these young people that you're speaking with. It is amazing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Well, I'm sure that y'all all have done great things as well, ma'am. I mean, beyond this radio show host, y'all talk to many other people, show the community, you know, just how much we inspire others. So yeah, I really like what y'all are doing as well on the Merge Radio.
Well, thank you so much. But you know, we did not get a head start at 11. But thank you. We are so appreciative.
You're welcome,
so, all right. So I know you're quite a busy young man. So if someone, you know, were interested in having you come and read maybe some parts of your book or come speak to their class, how would they go about getting in contact with you for that?
Well, all right. So our website, for one, is officialangelarms.com. So that's the website. If you wanted to go see what we're about. You can also do another separate website, jeremiahdevalier.com. It's just my name in all lowercase, G-E-R-E-M-I-A-H-D-E-L-B-A-L-L-E. Quite a little long, but yeah. So that's those two websites that you can go to read about our accomplishments, things that we've done in the past. And to contact us, that will be creators@officialangelarmies.com. So it's creators@officialangelarmies.com. So yeah. And you can also contact my PR, Mr. Marcus. I don't know his email, but I'm pretty sure if you meet him, you'll get it.
Yeah, we got it.
Yes, that's Mr. Marcus Calabrese. We're familiar with him.
For sure.
I cannot wait, Jeremiah, to ask you the next question. You have absolutely blown my mind this evening. So from a 15-year-old, we would like to know our signature question, and that is, what does the word emerge mean to you?
Well, when I hear the word emerge, words always have a connotation to it. So emerge is, you know, a synonym with rise or, you know, bring up or, you know, really just going up. So when I hear emerge, I hear something that's slowly but surely, like I said before, emerging is not, you don't think it's there, but until it's there. And when you're emerging, like, you can't stop. You got to keep going. Emerging may not be as soon as you want it to be. Emerging may not be as fast as you want to be. be, you might not end up where you want to be when you just emerge, when you just come, when you're on the come up right then and there, but you're still going, still always still going, still a place that you always have to go. The sky's not really the limit, really. Really, it's the moon or Jupiter or Pluto. Really, going up is how far you want to go up. So emerging is really going slowly but surely. Just knowing that you always have somewhere to go. The stopping point is where you want to stop. So that's what emerge means to me.
Spoken wow. Like a true wise young man. Emerging is knowing that there's always somewhere to go. Dorothea, that might be one of my favorites.
Yes,
absolutely. Top one, not top 10, but like top one. Okay. He's 15. Like that's the curve right there. Nobody else's answer measures up. He's 15. including ours, Dathana.
Yeah, I thought mine was profound, Jeremiah, until I heard yours.
May I hear it, man? I would like to hear it.
I always say emerge is about becoming the best version of yourself. It's not about the destination, but the journey. But I just like the way you put it. Emerge is knowing there's always somewhere to go. I like that.
Yes,
I wrote that in my
love it. Love it. Love it.
Well, Jeremiah, I hate to see you go, but let me say it has been an honor getting to know you. I am so proud of you. I'm so thankful we got to talk to you today. I did have one last question, right? So is it possible to get a copy of your book autographed? Is that a thing? Can we make that happen?
Yeah. So like I said, there's two websites I listed, officialangelarmy.com and jeremiahdevalier.com. You can buy it from there and then we'll send it to you. And when we send it to you, it's going to be signed. And if you want to sign it to somebody different, we can, definitely just put it in the notes section. We'll see it and we'll sign. So yeah.
Awesome. I think that's going to make an amazing birthday gift. So I'm super excited. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
It's been a pleasure.
Me too. I will You're be welcome. Ordering your book, Jeremiah.
Yes, ma'am. And I wish Mrs. Deshaina, wish your son a happy birthday.
Thank you.
That was a little early.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It's very much an honor. I hope to see y'all again someday.
Absolutely.
The pleasure was all ours, young man. You have a great day.
Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com. Welcome back. I'm Dorothea Schuler, and you're listening to Emerge, the radio show that's all about entrepreneurs and business and is the premier information source for business owners. If you're just now joining us and missed the previous interview, visit emergethemagazine.com and listen to any of our previous shows. Okay, let's get to it. We all proceed throughout the course of our lives based upon a series of decisions. A decision is a conclusion or a resolution reached after consideration. And divine means excellence. So we're making an excellent choice. Now, with that being said, let's make the divine decision today to pivot. There were a few very complex definitions for pivot. The one I chose effectively illustrates our ability to emerge with just the slightest pivot. To pivot is to turn or rotate, like even the hinge on a door. Okay, so we see the shift in direction or a shift in the process, but the foundation is stationary. The definition stated to turn or rotate. I remember as a little girl, I loved opening my grandmother's Cherrywood Finish musical jewelry box. Out would pop this little porcelain ballerina who spun in circles as long as the top was open. She generated movement that to me at the time was mesmerizing, but she never moved from the original position. One of her feet remained the pivot point. We can generate the necessary movement to accomplish our goals, reaching an end result that we truly desire without having to move or change the foundation we've built. Maybe all that's needed is the decision to pivot. Maybe you're a person who's built a solid foundation and have just fallen into complacency. That slight pivot is all you need to reinvigorate your efforts and maintain forward progression. Maybe you finished trade school or graduated from college, or you've successfully opened a new business or are even ready to expand an old one. The point is, you're ready for what's next. You know it, but you feel stuck. Let me suggest that all you need is a slight pivot of your mindset, your efforts, or your execution, and leave the foundation you've built in place. When throwing the shot put, before the release, the foundational foot is planted first and then used to pivot the athlete in the direction in which they're throwing. Sometimes it's the smaller movements that are necessary in order to create and see a bigger change. Join me today by merging into our best life and make the divine decision to pivot. Knowing this helps to ultimately shape and create a path that reflects a light of excellence. This, my friends, has been another divine decision with Dorothea. You can decide to be a part of Emerge the Radio Show by submitting your response to our signature question, what does the word emerge mean to you? Share that with us on our IG at Emerge the Magazine. This week's response is from Paige Putman of Lineage Wealth Management, Inc. in Norfolk, Virginia. Emerge means growth and potential. Yes, Paige, thank you so much. We definitely share that same thought here at Emerge. It's all about potential and the growth it takes us all to reach ours. Emerge, emerge
yourself. Well, hello. We are here with Shanda Epps today, and we are so excited to get to speak with her and learn more about her and how she has emerged and how she will be emerging in the future. So Shanda, how are you? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good evening. And thank you for having me. I am a Hampton native, born and raised here in Hampton, Virginia. And I have always loved art, everything creative. Even as a child, writing on my parents' walls, writing in my bedroom, and my parents discovering my gifts and then honing those gifts by giving me art supplies and taking me to different places where I could actually be exposed to art, such as museums and things of that nature. So art has always been a part of my life. I do work full-time for Hampton City Schools as a family engagement coordinator for Title I schools. And in addition to that, I also pursue my passion of art by owning my own business, New Art by CJ Epps, as well as founding my nonprofit, Live Love Paint Foundation. And through that, I'm able to share just my creative process and how I use art as a way to center myself, but also channel my ideas and creativity.
Shanda, you said a mouthful right there just with your introduction. I could tell you do so much, and your voice is so soothing and it's so calm. Oh my goodness. Just put people right at ease. So talk to us about, you said New Art by CJ Epps?
Yes.
Talk to us about that journey.
My journey to founding my business, I would have to say it started off as I was really resistant, to be honest with you, because I just like to create. So I would just paint pictures. I would just be inspired to do different things. And I just would end up with stacks of paintings all around my house, in my, you know, down the hallway, things of that nature. And I believe it was my brother one day when he was visiting, he said, why do you just have this here? You need to have it up on the wall. It needs to be out there. And I was just like, no, I don't really want to do that. And so I always tell a story of my first art show and how my friend, Dr. Lawrence Myers, shout out to him. He would always ask me about my art. I always want to see pictures. And so one day, it was like in 2011, he came to my office, and I know him through my full-time job. And he said, all right, show me what you've been working on. So I showed him some pictures of art I had been working on. And he said, all right, it's time for you to have an art show. And I was like, I don't want to do an art show. I've never done that. I don't even know where to begin. He was like, well, you'll have time to figure it out. He was like, so I need you to tell me the date that you want to have it. And we're going to have it at my school, and I'm going to cater it, and everybody's going to see your incredible art. And I was immediately panicked by that because, you know, that's like my inner thoughts and just my ideas being just on display for people. So long story short, I ended up having my first art show on November 11th of 2011. And it was an incredible night. We had, I think he said like over 100 people came through there just at different times. And he was basing it off of who came in and had refreshments and things of that nature. And I actually sold 19 pieces of art that night. I had 26 I was showing 26 pieces and I sold 19. And that for me was confirmation that this is something that I need to put more emphasis on in my life and take it more seriously. And on November 13th, I filed and got my business name registered and everything, got my business license. And I've been selling my art ever since then. And I'm an abstract artist. I also love flowers and leaves and anything dealing with foliage. I love to paint flowers and nature, and I love abstract art because it's really interesting how a piece can resonate with people in different ways. So I like to create art that evokes feelings. When I see things, I pull from how it makes me feel or what the environment is like. And I love to see how people connect with it for different reasons. Sometimes it's for the same reasons I do. And for other times, it's just they'll see a painting and they'll say it reminds them of someone. And I'll never forget one of the first pieces I sold at that art show. A woman bought a picture because she said it reminded her of her grandmother and being at her grandmother's house. And I was just like, wow. So I've been, you know, running my business since 2011, and it has evolved over the years. I have, at one point I was doing paint parties. I've also had a t-shirt line where I did graphic illustrations. I had a t-shirt line called the Bloom Collection, which was centered around inspirational words and just simple imagery of Black women, regal women who have flowers in their hair. That's something that I love to paint as well. And more recently, I've gotten into doing murals. So that has been fun and different, but it's all, you know, very therapeutic for me. I enjoy the creative process. I enjoy the challenge, and I enjoy where it takes me when I'm just focusing on creating.
So I love your story. And as an art appreciator is what I say, because I will go to a museum so quick, but I'm not artistic at all. But I appreciate how artists, you guys, put yourself out there for other people to see it, other people to judge, like you said, other people to feel, you know, because one piece somebody might love, another piece somebody might not like, one piece, you know, you're looking at it a certain way and then they feel something else about it. So I just love what art like brings to people, and it's so relative to whatever everybody's going through at the time. And another thing that you brought up was, you didn't want to, you know, I guess like sell your art or do a gallery to show your art, but you had someone that was like, no, you're going to do this. Like they saw your talent and they said the world needs your talent. And so shout out to, what was his name again?
Dr. Lawrence Myers.
Yes, Dr. Lawrence Myers, because I think we all need somebody like that who is like, yes, you're going to do this, and because you can. And I believe in you, and other people will too. So yeah, shout out to him. I think that's great. So what made you like decide to continue with it? And then what made you decide to go into like the t-shirt business? And is that still there in existence?
It's on vacation right now. I've still been creating designs for it, but it's very organic for me and very spiritual. Like God gave me the words that I used for the first line. And I am trying to like revamp some things because I really want to come back and just have more limited edition items and not necessarily do a full run of t-shirts. That was exhausting, to be honest with you. And it lost a little bit of, I guess, the uniqueness for me. I was thrilled that people were excited about it. And, you know, up until like last year, people were asking me, well, are you going to make any more Bloom t-shirts? I'm like, no, that was a limited edition collection. So I really want to come back and just really rebrand my art business and just really focus on having specialized in limited edition collections. But the interesting thing with the business, it's like if you truly surrender the process and you surrender the dream to God, he will blow your mind with different things. First of all, I never imagined having an art business. And I never imagined selling my art or having my art in exhibits, you know, not just locally, but, you know, even across the water in Norfolk. Like I never envisioned having people invite me to show my art. And so every year since 2011, like the business has evolved and like a new branch has opened up. And again, being surrounded by people who see gifts and see different things in you, people will actually speak those things. Oh, I could see this on a t-shirt, or I can see this on a gift bag. I could see you designing stuff for Target. And I'm just like mind blown left and right. But every year, God elevates my business and puts me in front of different people. And through the, you know, the magic of social media, my business has grown tremendously just by people finding me through either referrals or just people discovering me, I guess, on the Explore page. But every year it just goes to a different level. So with the t-shirt line is inspired by art that I painted. So the designs for three of the t-shirts were actually paintings that I did. So I just really did a simple drawing, outline drawing of the painting. And then shout out to Keija, DJ B's wife. She was my first screen printer. She was also very instrumental in me having my first t-shirt. But she kind of walked me through that process of how to take just a regular drawing and creating a digital image of it, and just the whole process of screen printing. So that happened again. That was really organic. And my first t-shirt was the Bloom shirt, and that took off. And we did several runs of that. But in talking with her, she was like, I think we should just do a collection where you're featuring different designs, because I knew nothing about that. You know, I was just excited, like, wow, you took this drawing and you put it on a shirt and it looks dope. And, you know, I was just fascinated by the whole process. So she was really great in guiding me through that process of what it means to have a t-shirt line, what you should focus on, and things of that nature. Also, I started doing paint parties back in 2014. And as a result of that, again, I had never done a paint party, didn't really know how the nuts and bolts of it. But one of my sorors, she told me, she was like, I'm going to have a paint party in my house and you're going to do it. You're going to show us how to paint. I don't know how to do that. Like, when I'm painting at home, I'm relaxed, probably look a little crazy sometimes. I don't know how I can transfer that over to that. But nonetheless, I did the paint party and she posted it on Facebook. Next thing I know, people are wanting to book me for paint parties. And so that birthed my run of paint parties. So I did that for about 6 years. Yes, until 2020. So I developed my mobile paint party business over the course of 6 years and got really good at it. And as far as fine tuning a business model for it, again, it was something that through research and just getting out there, never afraid to just jump out there and try stuff, which sometimes doesn't quite work out all the way, but sometimes it does work out. But very long answer to your question, just really a lot of trial and error and really just allowing things to come to me organically, you know, just simply through people saying, hey, I think this would be great. Maybe you should try this. And me just saying, okay, I'll give it a shot. So that's how the t-shirt line came to existence. And then that's how I, you know, the paint party business came into existence. And that really kind of took on a life of its own because I stayed really busy doing paint parties. So I was doing paint parties every weekend and sometimes on weeknights, you know, after I would get off of work. And I honestly just burnt myself out because, again, there was no model for me to follow. So it's like I'm just doing it, not even thinking that I don't ever have any downtime. I don't ever like just stop. And so it just got to be too much. And then with the pandemic, you know, I did my last paint party on March 7th of 2020. I believe that was that Saturday, the first Saturday in March. And that next week, the world kind of shut down. So all my other paint parties, you know, everything got canceled. And I was like really glad to have that opportunity just to sit still and just kind of regroup. So I decided not to pick it back up because other things sort of, you know, took off for me. I really focused on painting and really focused on doing inspirational art, artwork featuring affirmations and things of that nature. And so it just kind of led me down a different path. So the art continues to evolve. And I think that in turn makes the business evolve as well.
Yes. And I like how you're doing these business, adapting to these business models. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but
I'm going to figure it out.
Exactly. I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to adjust it like as I keep going to make it work. I love that. Like that's what you have to do. If you knew how many times Shannon and I have revamped Emerge.
Y'all already know.
Yes, we get these ideas and we're gonna do this and we moving here, we doing that. But you know what? I can resonate with something you said. Sometimes it might not even be our idea. Someone close to us, you know, or someone in passing might have an idea, and then it's like the mentors and the resources to get it done, they just magically appear sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm very thankful for that. You know, I'm like, oh, everything's aligning, so this is what we were supposed to be doing. It's always like that confirmation. So I think that's an amazing thing.
Yes, that's how I'm in the right place. When that starts to happen, I'm like, all right, I'm right. I'm in the right space. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And then also when that doesn't happen, I'm like, all right, let me regroup. Let me pray about this, because this is going to the right and I needed it to go over here. So yes, always being mindful of that. Because as a creative, you know, you're always like excited about new ideas and trying new things, but you have to also make sure you're in alignment and that it's the right time for certain ideas. And that's my own personal lesson there. So just like really always staying mindful and making sure that, you know, you're in the right place and you're, you know, operating in the gifts and using it in the way that God wants you to use them.
For sure. Our 2024 word is alignment. So that's right on time.
Yes.
So look, I was really listening to what you said right earlier when you gave your introduction. I believe you either said you had a nonprofit or a foundation.
Yes, I have a nonprofit. And the name is Live, Love, Paint Foundation. And that, the idea actually for that started 3 years before I actually formed the nonprofit. So in 2015, again, you know, I was doing paint parties. And so one of my wonderful friends, he on Facebook, he reached out and he was like, hey, I want you to come do art with my kids after school. And I said, OK. And I said, well, what do you have in mind? Again, never did that before. So I was like, I would love to, you know, come and create with your kids after school. So Jawan Wheaton, Mr. Wheaton, he worked at the C. Waddle Scott Hope Center in Newport News. And from, I think, 2015 to 2017, I would go after work and do art within their after school program. And so I became their art lady and really got an opportunity just to share my creative process with them, because all artists have a different process that they use to create. So I like to listen to jazz music or just instrumental music, no lyrics. And I just like to immerse myself in the process of whatever it is I'm creating. So I was able to do some art that really took them down different lanes that they weren't used to. So we made masks, we made bean mosaics, we painted, of course. And I also shared some of my famous artists with them. So we studied the work of John Michel Basquiat. We looked at, I always mess up his name, Kehinde Wiley, just a lot of different artists, and just giving them the opportunity to do their own version of the artwork was really fun to see. And just to see some of the things that they would kind of zero in on, I would say you can paint any part of the picture you want. You can paint the whole thing, and they would like focus on the eye or focus on something in the background. And I was always fascinated by how their eye would just kind of go to different things. So that was a fun experience for me. I enjoyed doing it. Again, through the wonderful world of social media, once you start posting pictures, then people are like, oh, I want you to come and do art in my after school program. So I did that. So 2015 to 2018, I was working between probably three sites, the Boys and Girls Club, YH Thomas, and again, the Hope Center. And then in 2018, someone said, you should just start a nonprofit. So then, you know, you can have funding coming in. It could be official. Again, that whole nonprofit process, it was challenging. But I had some really great friends and supporters around me. And again, God just aligned me with the right people to help me through the whole process. So it actually, what started off being very intimidating for me, it actually worked out really well, because I literally had people holding my hands throughout the whole process, because I really wanted it to be done the right way. I wanted every I to be dotted, every T to be crossed, because I don't want anything done outside of the correct format. So one of the things about me, like I'll take my time with that aspect of it. Like the creative process, I can kind of flow and do whatever. But when it comes to like business and making sure everything is done properly, like I have to like take my time, because I want to learn about it so that I can know the right way to do it. And if I can help somebody else, I want to be able to share it and tell them the right thing. But also just to make sure that, you know, if this is a way that God is going to use me to have an impact and to make a difference, I really want it to be done with fidelity and done the right way. So founded the nonprofit Live Love Paint Foundation in 2018. And it really just started off with me doing the free art sessions with youth. So going into different spaces and just creating with young people and just giving them an opportunity to relax and just to focus on the art and just really be proud of the things that they're creating. And so we paint a lot, but we also explore other mediums. So we do sketching and drawing. We do acrylic paint markers, which is really popular with teenagers. They love that. I'm not really sure why, but they get really excited about that. Watercolors, molding clay, and painting, painting affirmations. The list goes on and on. I'm like a real Pinterest fanatic. So I love taking like the easy crafts that they have on there and putting my own little spin on it and having that as a focus for my art sessions. But that, again, up until 2020, we were rotating between six or seven sites. And then when the pandemic hit, of course, everything got shut down. But one of my board members at the time, she said, you know, what if we start doing art kits? You know, then that way kids could still have the opportunity to create and explore art, but in the comfort of their own home. So we pivoted in 2020 and started doing the art kits. And that is still to this day very, very successful. I'm really, really excited about the growth of that particular program and just the fact that we are actually giving kids the opportunity to have materials that they may not have, you know, the resources to purchase. But we're currently affiliated with Unite Virginia. And through that organization, which is a referral service for nonprofits and agencies, we are actually able to provide art kits to children affiliated with CHKD. So more recently, I would say that we have even gotten more intentional with providing those resources to children in need. And it just really warms my heart to know that these art kits are now being utilized by children who are really in need of a creative break and an opportunity to just explore their creativity and have fun.
That is amazing. I never even, that was a thing, you know, because a lot of times when we talk about children in need, we might look at, you know, the financial aspect of it, them needing something like that. But, you know, children in CHKD and children who have other things going on that may not, you know, necessarily be financial, art would be a great escape for them and a great creative break. So that just warms my heart.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited about it.
Yes. And that is why Live Love Paint Foundation won our very first Emerge Award for best nonprofit. And you explaining it to us, definitely we can see why you got the most votes for that category. Yeah. So keep doing that. And we thank you for what you do in the community. So if you could just let everybody know how to follow you on social media or any other way that they can contact you, how they can support Live Love Paint Foundation, please share it with us.
Absolutely. We are on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Live Love Paint Foundation, the same handle for both platforms. Our website is livelovepaintfoundation.org. And on there, you can find out more information about the programs, a more in-depth description of the programs that we offer. There is a link on there to make a donation as well. If you're interested in volunteering with us, I forgot all about that. We recently secured a space in the Kingdom United Fellowship Marketplace in Hampton. So we actually have a classroom. We have an office this space now. That was truly just an answered prayer. But we will be able to host classes and art sessions in that classroom. And again, being accessible to families and children in need, we'll be right there centrally located. So we're always looking for volunteers. So if you'd like to volunteer, you can send us an email at info@livelovepaintfoundation.org or just send us a message on Instagram or our Facebook page. And we can just share information with you about how you can get connected to us and our events and just become a supporter and a cheerleader for us, like spread the word and just help us continue to make an impact in our community.
Awesome. Now we do have one last question for you before we let you go. Okay. And it is our signature question. What does the word emerge mean to you?
Oh, wow. When I think of emerge, I think of new beginnings. I think of a refreshing. I think of new seasons. I think of the opportunity to discover the next level of your purpose and just to continue to evolve into the person that you were created to be.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. I love how everyone, you know, response to that question.
Yes. That's a nice question.
That is beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Shanda, for sharing your journey with us. We look forward to all the great things that you are doing and will keep doing. And we thank you for your support in the community and for what you are, you know, teaching our youth and giving all of us inspiration.
Well, and I want to thank you for your platform and for all that you all are doing to just uplift and highlight the work and the energy and just the positivity that is happening in our community as well. So thank you all for what you all do. And thank you for the opportunity for inviting me to just share about Live Love Paint Foundation and myself. I truly appreciate it.
Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com.
I'm DeShanna Kemp Garnett, and it's time for My Two Cents. Hello and happy Wednesday. I know every Wednesday I get on here and I'm super excited and I'm hyped, but today I want to calm it down just a little bit, right? And let's talk about a sanctuary of financial insight. So today's wisdom is patience is the investor's greatest virtue. In the hustle of markets, remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. I know we've heard that a million times, but also remember, neither was a robust portfolio. So let patience be your guide, allowing time to sculpt your financial masterpiece. Because folks, the sweetest fruits are often the result of patient cultivation. I'm DeShanna Kemp Garnett, and that's my two cents. A special thank you for the guests on today's show. To listen to past episodes of the Emerge Radio Show, visit EmergeTheMagazine.com.
You've been listening to the Emerge Radio Show. All opinions expressed on this show are that of our guests and may or may not be shared by the Emerge Radio Show staff. Follow us on Facebook. Search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com.